Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
5.7 New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Hope you had a good weekend. I live in the city of New Orleans. Because of coronavirus and the fact that we're in August now, you know, walking around Bourbon Street in the French Quarter on Saturday, it's just so sad. There's hardly anyone around. I don't know how so many of these businesses are going to come back from the ones that are shut down. I don't know. At least half of them probably aren't going to come back. It's just so sad. I mean, I might as well be living in Bogalusa right now. And I hear the weather up there is nice this time of year. A little warm, but just walking around New Orleans over the weekend, it's brutal. It's sad. And what is today? Today's August 3rd. As we finally made it to another month in the longest, worst year of pretty much all of our lives.
No, I actually think it's March 138th.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And this Friday, which is August 7th, they're going to have an announcement. Our governor is going to have an announcement, John Taco Bell Edwards. And I don't think the announcement's going to change anything. I think we're going to stay in phase two for another couple of weeks.
I don't think we're moving out of phase two for the remainder of the year. That's my prediction, because they're just going to keep adding 2 weeks on to it and 2 weeks on to it and 2 weeks on to it.
You think we're stuck in phase two for the rest of the year, Coleman?
At least until November. Yeah, I think we're going to be stuck in phase two. As long as I don't even know what the goalposts are anymore. They keep giving us these the ideal numbers and how they want the curve to flatten, how they want the hospital beds and the hospitals to be relieved of all the, you know, it's like, I don't know what barometer they're using to say, yeah, now we can go into phase three. I'm confused.
Well, first and foremost, phase two sucks.
Yes.
And it would suck to be stuck in phase two for the rest of the damn year. Love to get to phase three and phase four. And out of these damn phases, I don't even want to be in phases anymore. Can we take phase off of out of our lives? What phase is going to be? But this Friday, another press conference from our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards. I'm predicting it right now. He's going to say we're staying in phase two.
If that's what you want to call this, yeah. I think we're in like phase 1.5 or something like that, because they put more restrictions on the original phase two. Because I think phase two was like 50% capacity, and then they chopped that down to 25. Now you can't even have to-go cups.
You know, I long, Coleman, for the simpler time in life when we don't have a phase anything. When phase isn't a part of our lives at all. Sucks being in phases. Never liked phases before coronavirus, and now I really hate phases. I really don't like phases. Yeah, you know, when this all started, coronavirus, when we started this whole phase thing, before even phase one, when it was a lockdown, and then we got lucky to go to phase one, remember? But the lockdown really sucked. The whole goal was flattening the curve, and we did that. And we flattened the curve so the hospitals wouldn't be overrun. Our healthcare system, our medical system wouldn't be overrun. We did that. Got us into the phases. And then all of a sudden things started changing. It wasn't flattening the curve because we didn't want to overrun the hospitals. It was all of a sudden flattening the curve so many people wouldn't die of yep. coronavirus or wouldn't get it in the first place. Well, and so now we're back to
and now it's just the spread of it, because now the way people are dying aren't as severe as it was when it first started. Because when the coronavirus first started, yeah, it was harsh. But now more people that have gotten it and more cases are being
people
positive.
Aren't dying the way they yeah, used to die. They weren't the way as many of them aren't dying. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what the goal is to go to phase three.
I just walking around the city the thing that New Orleans, the things that New Orleans is known for the most, the tourists, food, drinking alcohol,
yep.
live music, all of those things, those right there. I just named you what New Orleans is known for. None of it's happening.
Dude, I have Facebook friends. I went on Facebook this morning. I have a Facebook friend that's urging the mayor not to let tourists in. Like, please don't let tourists in. Please don't let them in. It's like, why, man? We need people. We need to get back to normal, you know?
I mean, if people are wearing masks anyways, if there's a mandate that we all have to wear masks no matter where we go, just if we're all wearing masks anyways, just open everything up. Everybody's wearing masks. They tell us we'll stop things from spreading. We're wearing the masks anyways. We all have to. Our local government, whether it's the governor of the state of Louisiana, whether it's the mayor of the city of New Orleans, they all told us we all have to wear masks. So we all have to wear masks anyways. We're wearing masks to even go into any store. Open everything up. Let the businesses open up again. Stop the hindrance on business owners and business and employees and bartenders and waiters and waitresses and business owners. Open it all up, damn it. Damn phases. And one thing I noticed you yesterday, Coleman, on Facebook, you were in a little conundrum. You were in a pickle.
I lost my mask.
You lost your mask, but you went to a store to buy another mask, but they wouldn't even let you into that store to buy a mask because you weren't wearing a mask. You have to wear a mask to go into the store.
So luckily, I wear bandanas everywhere I go. So I had to leave the store, put my bandana that was on my head over my face, then go back in to buy a new mask. I have a better mask, though, now. Hopefully, I don't lose this one. This one has the little metal strip that bends over your nose. That's pretty cool.
Now, these phases suck. We're stuck in phase suck, and they're going to tell us on Friday, I think, we'll continue to be stuck in phase suck, which is actually phase two. For another couple of weeks. Stay tuned for that. All right. Hey, coming up on the show today, Saints quarterback Drew Brees finally spoke publicly for the first time since the last time he spoke, when he pissed off the other half of the country, because the time he spoke before that was when he pissed off half the country. We'll explain coming up on the show. A lot to do today here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And crime in the city of New Orleans, violent crime, is up. And I noticed over the weekend a headline on one of our local news, one of our local television's website, the news website for Channel 4 here. One of the headlines was New Orleans violent crime spiking as unemployment and health worries stoke unease. Okay, unemployment, I get that. And that's, you know, when people don't have money, they'll commit crime. That's a socioeconomic reason why people commit crime. But health worries? You think because coronavirus? Coronavirus is the main reason why a lot of people are unemployed right now.
Yeah.
But do you think, Coleman, because of coronavirus, people are going to shoot people more here in the city of New Orleans? Damn, I got the COVID-19, got the coronavirus. Where's my gun?
Not necessarily shoot people. There's still violent crimes because of corona. We've seen that. We've seen people freaking out over masks, getting pepper sprayed, sometimes getting kicked out of stores by force, and people getting beat up because either they did have a mask or they didn't have a mask. So, yeah, I wouldn't call it health concerns, but I would say some people are freaked out about, oh, you don't have a mask on. Well, screw you. I'm going to get my gun out of the glove compartment and shoot up the brothers. So,
well, it's what's interesting is last year in 2019, mm-hmm. you know, before coronavirus, remember those simpler times?
Yeah.
When we didn't have to worry about what phase we're living in, when we didn't even know. It was just a different time. Last year in New Orleans, there were a total of 119 murders, and that was the lowest we had had in a while. And those were some good numbers. And I remember talking about that, saying, yeah, sure, that's good news, but still a lot of people got shot. And I think the only reason we had a low number of murders, 119 last year, because we had better health care. We had more hospitals.
I remember you talking about
that. We had more hospitals. We had better trauma units. We had more doctors and nurses. And the fact that a lot of these gang guys, they don't even know how to shoot straight. They don't even know how to hold a gun right. If you notice, when they shoot, their palm is facing the ground. Yeah, it might look cool, but that's not the way you shoot a handgun. So last year in 2019, New Orleans had a total of 119 murders, and that was low. And the reason I'm bringing that up now is we just entered the month of August. July just ended here in the year 2020 here in New Orleans, and we're almost at that number already for the number of murders. We're almost there. And one of the reasons they're blaming unemployment, like I read in the headline, and health worries, coronavirus, and coronavirus is leading to unemployment.
See, I figured it would be more that it was the demoralization of the police. You know, earlier, a couple of months ago, the police, they were really demoralized because people like F the police. Defund the police, and that made the police feel like, look, we're understaffed, we're overworked, you know what, screw it, and just stop being as aggressive as they once were. So maybe the morality of the police has came back because now they're out there doing the task force deal. So maybe that has a lot to do with it too. As far as getting away with violent crimes, they may feel like there's more leeway.
Well, Coleman, our police force here in New Orleans, I've said this a lot on this show as well, we're really undermanned.
Yes.
We're around 500 cops short. We have been for a long time. It's because of the federal consent decree that was set on the New Orleans police force several years ago. So our police, unlike the rest of the country before this year happened, our police, they've already been maligned. They're already undermanned. They already take a lot of crap. And I've got friends who are on the New Orleans police force, and I respect the hell out of them. It's a job that I don't want. But we've already been here in New Orleans, our police force, before you saw the situation in other cities, New York City, Minneapolis, cities all over America wanting to defund their police, wanting to take money away from them, wanting to get rid of their police altogether. which is insane, which is crazy. Chicago, we're seeing that, really? With the way people get shot there, you want to lessen your police force? But we're on pace this year, Coleman, here in New Orleans. We're on pace for 170 murders. Again, after coming off of a good year last year, only 119 murders. We're on pace this year, if things keep up, the numbers keep up the way they're going, to hit 170. And there are people that pay attention to these statistics and say, you know, coronavirus is making the murders go up.
I wonder how they make those projections like that. How do they take the numbers?
Well, do the math. If think about it. If we're almost at 119 now, and we had 119 all of last year here in New Orleans, if we just entered August and we're almost at 119, just do the math.
Yeah, but it's like we know there are people out there who are going to commit murder, so you think you want to kind of up the pace. My thing is, if you know that, all right, we're on pace to have this many murders, let's try to, what can we do to deter that? That's like saying, I know that there is somebody who is about to murder somebody. There's a certain group of people that tend to shoot people. You think they're all, kind of offset each other, maybe? Like, how do they know, Like, even when we look at the numbers in Chicago, how that this many people were still out there to get shot if all the gangbangers keep shooting each other? Where are they coming from? You know? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I do. But they're saying this year we'll be back to higher numbers of murder here in New Orleans compared to where we were last year. And they're saying coronavirus is one of the reasons.
That's not good news.
No, you would think with coronavirus, people's hanging out in their homes more, including the murderers, the shooters. But that's not the case. So anyways, and as we mentioned earlier on the show this morning, this Friday, there's going to be another announcement by our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards. And it was a day that we were looking forward to because maybe he would move us out of phase two. But I think this coming Friday, I think he's going to say we're in phase two for another 2 weeks at least.
Yeah, because we didn't fast and pray correctly.
This sucks. I remember life when it was simpler, when we didn't have phases, when we didn't even think about phases. What phase are we in life? I can't wait till we get back to those times. All right, coming up on the show, Drew Brees, the quarterback of the Saints, spoke publicly for the first time since pissing everybody off. The last time he spoke publicly, actually the last two times he spoke publicly. We'll tell you what he said as Saints camp and NFL football camps really get going this week. The first week of camp was basically coronavirus testing. I guess that was phase one of NFL training camps. I think they can move to the next phase of their training camps. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. You know what I love about this radio station? You could take a couple of bands from different generations and put them right next to each other, and they sound great, like AC/DC and Faith No More. And they both had a lot of success after losing their original singer. They got that in common on Bayou. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And over the weekend, the SpaceX capsule splashed down after a successful trip up to the International Space Station. Did you catch any of that? Finally, some good news on television. One of the astronauts, by the way, the astronauts, they were Bob and Doug. Not to be confused with Bob and Doug McKenzie. A couple of Canada's finest folks. But this was Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley, two NASA astronauts who were just hanging out up in space for a while. And what made this one more special than others is this was the one that was funded by the private sector. Pretty cool when Elon Musk happened to be, you got to have a few extra bucks laying around to be able to be a private sector guy or a private sector company. and say, no, we can handle this. We can handle this this space launch. And Doug of the Bob and Doug, his name is Doug Hurley, and he graduated from Tulane.
All right.
Here in uptown. And so that was pretty cool. But it was neat to see them come back to Earth, and they landed in the ocean and everything. And again, that was Elon Musk's SpaceX company. And you know, this was the first time, because every other time we've sent astronauts into space, the government, the United States government, our government was behind it. But this was a private sector deal.
Now, did Bob and Doug know what was going on Earth in 2020 before they splashed back down? Because I'm quite sure if they had the option, they'd look out the window and say, you know what? Maybe we should stay afloat in space for a couple of more months.
Yeah, they were up there for a while, but they knew when they left, the coronavirus was here.
So did they get tested as soon as they came out the capsule? They put the thermometers in their face and gave them masks and gloves?
Yeah, they were tested a lot.
That must suck, having to wear a spacesuit for the majority of your life of a year, then you have to come back down and still have to wear a mask and gloves.
Yeah, well, I guess they had wives and families that they missed. But if they didn't have that, why would they come back to this living hell on Earth right now? But it was our first splashdown since 1975, and things went well, and some good news finally. Because if you watch the news lately, at least since coronavirus started here in America, what, about 5 months ago? I've said this before. If you turn on, let's just say the CBS Evening News, if that's the only news you watched, and here around here, that's on at 5:30 every late afternoon, early evening. If that's the only news that you watched, you'd want to commit suicide. I'll be honest with you. I'd want to kill myself. That's the most depressing thing. If that's the only news that you watched. So it was good to see some good news with the SpaceX capsule. And Bob and Doug, the two astronauts, one of them who is a Tulane graduate, splashing down to Earth over this past weekend. Good stuff. And it makes you proud to be American. And if hey Coleman, even when the times are rough like they are right now, I'm still proud to be American.
Oh, I'm always proud to be American.
I know times are tough right now, but damn it, we are the greatest country on Earth, and in my opinion, it's not even close. Even when times are tough right now, but we are a resilient folk, and we will get past all of these tough times. But it was just great to see that over the weekend. All right, coming up on the show, Drew Brees spoke over the weekend as well. And it was the first time he spoke publicly since, well, he said some things that pissed off, well, half the country once. And then when he said some things again publicly, he pissed off the other half of the country that he didn't piss off the first time. But he finally spoke again publicly this past weekend as we're getting ready for football season. Stay tuned. We'll tell you a few of the things that he said, and hopefully I don't think as many people are as pissed off at him now as when he spoke publicly for the last time. Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. You know, as you see people that say, well, I have to unfriend people on Facebook, or I have to unfriend or stop my relationship with some of my family members because I don't agree with them politically or about certain things. And we always say here on this show, look, there's a lot of people, whether they're musicians or whether they're actors, we might not agree with them, but we like their work. We love their music. We bring up Rage Against the Machine a lot here on this show. I like their music, but they're basically communists. Take a look at Sean Penn, the actor. There's a guy, he's a great actor. I love his performances in a lot of movies. But then when you hear some of the things he says in real life, you're like, the guy's crazy. He's nuts. Sean Penn just got married again over the weekend. He married an Australian actress who's 31 years younger than he is.
Hey.
Yeah, how about that? So if that could happen, there's hope for all of us, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah, just when you think that things are really rough and not looking that great, when you see he gets a very beautiful woman who's 31 years younger than him to marry him, there's hope for all of us, right?
Cha-ching!
Gotta stay positive here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlind Morning Show. Over the weekend, Saints quarterback Drew Brees spoke publicly for the first time since he angered, well, half the country with the first thing he said a couple of months ago. And then and then he, I think, pissed off the rest of the people that he didn't piss off the first time when he apologized for what he said. Drew Brees spoke over the weekend because the Saints camp is getting going. It kind of started last week, but it was basically just coronavirus tests last week. And now this week, they're starting with socially distanced practicing, which is kind of bizarre when you think about football. I'm just so excited for football. But Drew Brees did speak with reporters over the weekend for about 45 minutes, and he said, and this is going back to he's commenting on the reaction that he got from a couple of months ago when he did that interview with Yahoo Finance, and he was asked about kneeling during the national anthem before the football games. And he said that he wasn't going to kneel because he respects the flag and he thinks about his grandfathers who were in the military. And then that angered a bunch of his teammates and about half the country when he was called out by Michael Thomas, his star wide receiver, by Malcolm Jenkins, the defensive back, saying that, hey, man, hey, Drew Brees, when we're kneeling during the national anthem, it's not about the military. You know, it's about racial injustice here in this country, and you should shut the bleep up. That's exactly what Malcolm Jenkins said. And then Drew Brees had to have meetings with his teammates and such. And then he apologized. So if he angered a bunch of people with the first thing he said about not wanting to disrespect the American flag and disrespect the military and all the people that fought and gave their lives for that flag, then when he apologized a couple of days after that, after being called out by some of his teammates and a lot of other people in this country as well, that's when he pissed off the people he didn't piss off the first time he spoke. Well, this is what he said over this past weekend. He said, quote, "To think for a second that New Orleans or the state of Louisiana or the black community would think that I was not standing with them for social justice, that completely broke my heart." He said, "I had an opportunity to talk about the social injustices that exist for our black community and our need as a country to support them and advocate for them for systemic change. And my lack of awareness in that moment hurt a lot of people." That's what he felt. That's what he felt bad about. And so, are you excited for football? Because I am. And look, I know there's a lot of people that are down about the kneeling during the national anthem. And when after Brees spoke, there's past weekend, and that story was put on a bunch of different local news websites, I noticed the comments on those underneath the story. Some people said, you know, I'm finished with the NFL after Drew Brees walked back his comments, after Drew Brees apologized for his comments. I'm done with the Saints, and I'm done with football, and I'm done with the protesters and people kneeling during the national anthem. I saw a lot of comments like that underneath the story, but then I saw people react to those comments saying, well, then bye, no one's asking you to watch anyways, pal. See you later. No one needs you to watch anyways. So I saw it go, again, much like everything else, go back and forth. I saw it go both ways.
He spoke for 45 minutes. Anything about how he's feeling, how his leg work and footwork is, how his arm strength is, like the stats, you know, like how his ball accuracy is, how he's gelling with his coach and with his teammates. Anything about the actual sport of football, because it seems like every time we talk about football, every time we talk about Pelicans, every time we talk about the Saints, it's always about who kneeled, who didn't kneel, who's going to kneel, who's not going to kneel, who did this during the national anthem, who did this before and after. Like, when are we actually going to talk about the sport?
Yeah,
game.
It's interesting. You just mentioned the Pelicans as well. They restarted their season over the weekend as well, and they were disgraceful. They were an absolute disgrace. They were an embarrassment. But no, to be honest with you, when it comes to the Drew Brees and Saints story, and when it comes to sports in general, a lot of people aren't talking about the actual sports, Coleman. They're talking about the politicalization that is going on around the sports, whether it's kneeling, whether it's whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I'm over it. I'm tired of it. Like, this is part of the reason why people were like, this is why we don't want politics involved in our sport. And it was athlete that said, well, we can't do anything about it now because politics is now synonymous with sport, and it just is a whole corruption of the whole entire. It's supposed to be something that brings us together and takes us away from
it. Always has been, sports have always, the one thing, boy, when the Saints won the Super Bowl, everybody holding hands in this city, nobody cared about politics, nobody cared. It brought us together, and that, sports has always been a place where we could go to get away from politics, because if we want to pay attention to politics, we'll watch cable news, and we'll follow it on television like that. But, Coleman, with that being said, in the wake of the George Floyd murder in Minneapolis, Minnesota, this is an opportunity for athletes to use their platform. Now, look, they can use their platform on their own time and in their own personal lives. They can do whatever they want to do. But do they have to do it when it's time for us to watch the ball game, to get away from the stuff that we want to get away from, that we see in the news every day?
In their perspective, that's the only time people are watching. That's when they had the most eyes on them. No. So that's the best time to get political and put there.
So are you, if you're listening right now, I want to hear from you. Are you fired up for football, or are you checking out like some people because of the
politicalization?
Yeah. Because of the political slant.
Corruption.
That has now entered the sports world. Text us. Look, I'm fired up to watch football. I just want to get away from all of the craziness and for 3 hours and watch a football game, to sit on my couch and see something, kind of get back to normal life as we used to know it a little bit. Are you fired up for football? Or are you checking out, like I saw some of the people on social media? And if you are checking out, are you going to stay checked out? Because the Saints have one of the best teams in the NFL again this year. Come the end of the season, if the Saints are in the playoffs and they're winning games and they got a real good legitimate shot to win the Super Bowl again, you're telling me you're not going to come back? I don't know if I believe that. Are you fired up for football, or are you checking out? Text us, let us know at 260-9595, and give us a good text. And if it is good, we'll read it on the show coming up. Please don't text while you're driving, and put either your first name or your initials at the end of your text if you want us to say hey to you. And I want to hear from you, because I think, sure, I know that there are some people that are checking out, but if the Saints win, and they keep winning, and we get to the end of the season, and they're high-ranked going into the playoffs, I think a lot of those people are going to come back because, boy, oh, boy, that is something that did bring us together. Let us know how you feel. Text us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So over the weekend, Saints quarterback Drew Brees spoke publicly for the first time since the last time he spoke. Caused a lot of fireworks when it came to kneeling for the national anthem. Then his apology angered a lot of people. This past weekend, he said that he is going to stand for the national anthem, but he has no issue with players, teammates, others who kneel to protest racial injustice in this country. And I'm asking you, are you fired up for this Saints season? Because this year, I mean, the Saints are right there. They're right next to Kansas City. I mean, they're right there. They're right at the top when it comes to teams who have a chance of winning the Super Bowl. Are you fired up for the season? Or did all of this political slant on the NFL season, did it turn you off? Because I've seen a lot of people on social media saying, I'm out, I'm done, they're kneeling, all of this. But I still say, if you're saying that, and if the Saints keep winning, and they're in the playoffs and they keep winning, I have a feeling you're still going to tune in to see how the Saints do. And I asked you to text us. Are you watching? Are you fired up? Or are you bummed out?
Kyle says, honestly, I would rather watch college football than NFL. Those boys play a lot harder than the NFL.
Well, college football is exciting. I mean, I don't know if they play harder, but they obviously college football, very exciting too.
I'm not wasting 3 hours of my weekend watching anymore. I would spend it fishing or making home improvements. That's BL.
All right.
Patrick, I'm checking out the NFL. College football only. Go Tigers.
As LSU will try to defend their national championship in a 10-game conference-only shortened schedule this year.
C from home says, I'm checking out. I'm not a Saints fan anyway. The NFL is a bunch of America haters. Not as saying that the players can't even attend church. It's a disgrace.
Yeah, over a certain amount of people can't be going to church. That's part of their coronavirus protection program for the league this year.
BKD from River Ridge. I've been done with the NFL from day one of kneeling. Don't care about the Saints or any other team.
So that means he must have been done for like the last 3 or 4 years, because about 3 years ago, that's when it started.
Yep.
And then it died down for a while, and then it came back.
Yep, so yeah, there you have it. Roy is the only one that's excited about it. He says, who that? Saints to the Super Bowl. That's it.
Well, they've got socially distanced practices going on starting today. How are they going to do that? Socially distanced practicing football. Interesting. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. And we're still an hour away from the dumbest thing I read all morning. And that's a segment we do every morning on the show. This story I'm looking at right now that I'm about to tell you about, this was a finalist for this morning's dumbest thing I read all morning. But the reason it's not the dumbest thing, it's because it's so sad, because someone actually lost their life. And usually in that segment, we like to chuckle. And this is so dumb, though, that, you know, I've always said, when I do die, I hope it's not stupid, and I hope at least it's my fault. It's not somebody else's fault. I've always said that. But listen to this. Florida man fatally shoots Burger King worker over drive-through delay. So this happened Saturday night at Orlando, Florida, Burger King. This person was in line at the drive-thru. And evidently the drive-thru line was long and it was taking some time. This person got so upset. She even said if you don't hurry up, I'm gonna raise hell. Even said that into the drive-thru window box thing there. Well, it was taking so long that the person actually left the drive-thru line, okay? Exited the parking lot, gone from Burger King. should be the end of the story, right? Most people would go someplace else, or most people, not this person. This person went back and got their friend. And their friend had a gun. And they came back to the drive-thru line. And they pulled up to the window. And this 37-year-old thug named Kelvis Rodriguez Tormes pulled a gun out, held it up to the guy in the drive-thru window, the 22-year-old employee of Burger King who just started working there. And the thug said, "You've got 2 seconds before I shoot you." And then 2 seconds later, pulled the trigger and shot and killed 22-year-old Desmond Joshua. And then they left, but they were quickly caught. Can you imagine? You're okay, we've all been in drive-thru lines that have taken too long. We've all been there, and it can be frustrating. Okay, so I'm going to leave. I'm upset, but I'm going to leave. Could you imagine in what world does someone get so upset that they would leave and instead of just saying, okay, that was a bad experience I had. I'm going to get on with my day. I'm going to go get something to eat somewhere else. They went and they picked up their friend with a gun to go back to kill someone working in the drive-thru at Burger King. This wasn't this person's fault, and this poor person just started working there.
See, we was talking about this off the air. I think there's something missing from the story. You said that the woman was right there by the little box where she can communicate, like, hey, you guys are taking too long.
Yeah.
I would assume that the guy who was working probably said something flipped to set her off. I don't think it was just she was just waiting in line and got mad. I think she probably overheard the person either say something about, like, man, this bitch tripping in a drive-thru or something. I don't think it was just that simple, like she got mad. I think there was a part missing to where she either heard that guy say something bad about her, or he must have responded and said something flip about her, like, hey, ma'am, I can't do anything about it. So they had to. I'm assuming it had to be an exchange of words for her to go out and get her boyfriend, and her boyfriend got so upset that he came back and shoot that particular dude. That's what I'm assuming.
Well,
I don't think it was. It's probably not in the story, but that's the only way I can see that logically happening.
Well, Coleman, the woman made the order,
right?
She paid $40.
Oh, see, that's big money too.
But then the wait continued, and she was getting very upset. So they gave her her $40 back.
Well, so she got her refund.
And then she got her refund, and then she screamed that she was going to get her man. So she warned them.
Right.
I'm leaving, I'm coming back with my man. And her man had a gun.
Yeah, I think it was bad customer service. Yeah.
You think something might have been said, or she might have thought she heard something?
Yeah, if she got a refund, that means she was exchanging words. Like, either she said, hey, give me my money back, the line is taking too long, or something like that. I'm quite sure one of the employees at the Burger King probably said something that set her off during the exchange of the refund.
They gave her her $40 back. It doesn't say anything in the story,
right?
If anything was said between them.
I'm sure it's not in the story, but I'm sure that's what had to happen.
But this poor 22-year-old kid, Desmond Joshua, who got killed, just started working there. And if he just started working there, chances are he's not going to say anything to the customer.
Probably not. Or maybe he does. I mean, what, it was last week, I got kind of flipped with one of the customers. I ended up cursing him out on the phone at my night job. You know, I apologize to her later, but sometimes you get frustrated. But I'm not saying that should justify the boyfriend coming back to kill him.
That's incredible to me.
But I'm saying I don't think it was just that simple to where it was just that the line being so long was the frustrating part. For her boyfriend to come back and want to kill this dude, she said something to the boyfriend and, like, this guy did this and that. He disrespected me. It has to be more to it.
You know, as we sit here in month number 5 of the coronavirus situation here in the United States of America in August 2020, working in retail, where, you know these people in fast food restaurants, they are frontline workers.
I appreciate that.
They are, yeah. Coleman has another job.
And it is frustrating.
Where he delivers food on the West Bank at night. But, you all, you're frontline workers. You're like hospital nurses and doctors and such. Because dealing with people, especially dealing with people now, mm-hmm. 5 months into coronavirus, not easy.
Oh, yeah, they hate it when I come outside, come out to the bar, like, hey, you guys have to spread out. Oh, come on, man, we've been here for this. Like, no, please spread out. They're going to shut us down if y'all don't spread out. So,
but look, I can understand being upset at a long drive-through line. I can understand it taking so long. Okay, give me back my money. Got the money back. But then you just leave. This one was so upset, left, got her thug boyfriend with a gun to come back and shoot and kill the poor drive-through guy.
Yeah. Frustrating.
Sad. Anyways, hey, coming up on the show, we will have the dumbest thing I read all morning. That's in our 8 a.m. hour. And coming up next, there is no one who has Ellen DeGeneres' back right now. No one is coming to her support, or at least support her, when these stories are going around saying she may be the most horrible, mean, hateful person in Hollywood. And nobody's coming to her defense. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. Last week on the show, we talked about New Orleans native, well, Louisiana native, Ellen DeGeneres, and how lots of negative things are coming out about her. She actually, late last week, apologized. She issued a public apology. And there's a few different things that were being said. First, about her, that she is not a nice person at all. Story after story after story after story. It's almost unbelievable when you watch her on television, because on television, on her show, she's always so nice. She's always smiling. She's dancing. She's laughing. And she ends every one of her shows by saying, hey, be nice to each other, and whatever the case may be. From the looks of it, she's like the nicest human being on the face of the earth. But these stories that are coming out about her, they make her not only sound not nice, but she may be one of the most horrible human beings, one of the meanest human beings on the face of the earth. So she actually made a big public apology late last week. That's one half of the story. The other half of the story is her show. The people that work for her at her show, her producers and the executives at her show, they're all mean. They're brutal people to be around. And I saw something last week also when her show was going on in Australia. She went over to Australia to promote her show was going to be on television in Australia. This was a few years ago. And with some of the local Australian TV and radio personalities that she was doing interviews with, they all came out and they were saying it was brutal dealing with her. Like, her handlers were saying, don't even look at her until it's time to do the interview. Don't talk to her. Don't. And then when you do the interview, just ask her the questions. And then when it's over, she's going to leave. They say, Coleman, that it's a nightmare dealing with her and the people that are around her. And now she's saying that she may want to end her talk show with all of this. And on top of all of this, there's not one celebrity, there's not one person who has her back. No one has come out recently and said, well, slow down here. As a matter of fact, late last week, a couple of actors, the actor who played Ray Romano's brother on that TV show, Everybody Loves Raymond, his name's Brad Garrett. I remember him from one episode of Seinfeld when he was Jerry Seinfeld's mechanic, and he was kind of crazy. But Brad Garrett came out and said, oh, yeah, Ellen is extremely rude. And then another actress, she was in the movie Back to the Future, Leah Thompson. She came out and said, oh, yeah, the things you're hearing, they're all true. And so it's not only that celebrities, A-listers, B-listers, whoever, aren't coming to her defense. The ones that are coming out are saying, yeah, all of this stuff is true. Could you imagine this woman who, when you see her on television, everything is so happy, positive, dancing, laughing, joking. They say she is a horrible human being. I mean, mean. Could you imagine being that mean and nasty if you're that rich? We said this last week. I think the richest, most successful comedian ever, she's right up there with Jerry Seinfeld. She's made a lot of money and other investments as well, real estate and such. But could you imagine being that rich and being that mean and being that horrible of a human being?
I don't know. I wish I could be that rich to kind of play with the theory. But we've seen this a couple of times in the past, not to this extreme. They had the Casey Kasem incident where that footage leak where he was yelling at one of his producers for playing a slow, fast-paced song when it was supposed to be a demoralizing break, like it was supposed to be depressing. We've seen that lead video of Bill O'Reilly coming out cursing at his employees.
We'll do it live.
Yeah, we've heard that phone call. I think it was Alec Baldwin was cursing out one of his kid. Calling her a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Called her a pig.
Yeah, yeah.
His own daughter.
So yeah, I can see this happening with Ellen DeGeneres. But like I said last week, if I work for Ellen DeGeneres, my only concern is do the checks clear. The way she acts on screen and how she acts behind the scenes would not be a concern to me as long as my bills were getting paid. I've worked for horrible bosses in my past, verbally abusive, demoralizing bosses, but are my bills getting paid? Well, screw it. I'll just go back to work the next day.
But there are so many people coming out. One guy who was a bodyguard for her a few years back and worked for her, being her bodyguard at the 2014 Oscars, the Academy Awards, he said not only was she cold, she never even said hello to him. And he was with her like all night being her bodyguard, wouldn't even look at him. And then Brad Garrett, the actor, said, sorry, but it comes from the top, Ellen. No more than one person who was treated horribly by her. Common knowledge.
Once again, if I was a security guard, she wouldn't have to tell me anything. Just give me the check. Cut me the check. You don't have to speak to me. You don't have to look at me. I'll do my job. Like, I'm not that concerned over it. If I worked for Ellen, I'd probably be perfect for her. If I was a personal assistant, whatever, she doesn't have to speak to me. She doesn't have to say hello. She can treat me however. Do the checks clear.
But I want to know where her A-list...
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
I want to know where her A-list friends are. Where are they? Say, oh, no, Ellen's a great person. We haven't heard from any of those. The only people we've heard from are all saying, yeah, she's nasty. She's rude. She's mean. She's horrible.
Now that I think about it, the only person that I've ever seen Ellen DeGeneres with in close proximity is George W. Bush when it was at the baseball game together.
That's when all of this started. But by the way, that's when all of this started.
But I've never seen it with a photo op with any other celebrity.
She was at a Dallas Cowboys football game, I believe, and she was sitting in a luxury suite right next to former President George Bush, the son.
Mm-hmm.
And when that picture was taken and it became public later that day or the next day, boy, did social media turn on her. How dare you sit next to that horrible president, that horrible human being? How could you? And then she had to come out and say, look, I have friends from all different political backgrounds, and, you know, he happens to be a friend. That's when this all started. And then the negative things started coming in. And then, as you mentioned last week on the show, there was someone who's a comedian or somebody said, I will match for everybody who tweets a bad experience they had with Ellen or on the Ellen show, you tweet that experience and I will
donate $2 to whatever charity.
To a charity. And then they started coming in left and right. And look, you don't know on social media. You don't know what's true and what's not true. But it just kept snowballing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And now it hasn't stopped. That charity is loaded. And now the only celebrities we're hearing from are people that are saying, yeah, everything you're hearing about Ellen is true. Could you imagine that? She would be the biggest fraud in entertainment history. Because everything is supposed to be so nice and, you know, treat everybody kindly. Meanwhile, she doesn't treat anybody kindly. We can't find anybody who she's treated kindly.
I think that's par for the course for Hollywood, right? Aren't they all frauds to a certain extent?
To a certain extent.
I'm not. All right. Let's say she decides to quit her show. Whatever she does next to make money, I'm submitting my resume. I heard she has bank. I need to get a cut of that.
She is loaded, and I mean, I don't watch her show, but they're saying it's been a very successful show, but they're saying she now wants to leave, but there's so much money involved, and if she does leave, they're saying James Corden would be the one who would replace her. He does the late night show. He comes on after Jimmy Fallon, but he would move to that. That's what they're saying.
I don't watch Ellen DeGeneres' show either, but she is easier on the eyes than Corden.
No. I don't think any of Marie Jean Diaz is going to go there. But boy, oh boy, isn't that something? Nothing would surprise me anymore. But the fact that no one is saying anything positive about Ellen DeGeneres, no one's coming to her back. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite. People keep piling on. Never seen. But wouldn't it be a funny skit, like, to do Ellen when she's not on camera and just show her ruthless and being mean to everybody and just yelling at everybody, and because it's the exact opposite of what we see here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Last week on the show, we were telling you the story of how a lot of people here in Louisiana and in several other states in America have been getting mystery seeds in their mail. The large envelope that it comes in has Asian writing on it. And then the people have been opening up the envelope, and there were seeds in there, mystery seeds. And we were telling you about it last week on the show, and I told you that I had a package waiting for me in the building I live in here in New Orleans. But I waited a couple of days because I wasn't expecting a package. I haven't ordered anything. And I saw this story about the Chinese mystery seeds. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to open those. But I finally went the other day, Coleman, and it wasn't the mystery seeds. They put the package in the wrong mailbox. It was from my next door neighbor. So anyways, but isn't it something how you immediately think of the worst thing that it could be when something happens like that? But now, the United States Department of Agriculture's Division of Animal and Plant Health Inspection.
Yeah, those guys.
Or the USDA DAPHI. They've identified some of the mysterious seeds. And they include food staples like mustard and cabbage, as well as herbs like mint, sage, rosemary, and lavender. And there's a few flower breeds as well.
Smoke weed every day.
No, like morning glory, hibiscus, and some roses, seeds for roses. So those were what the seeds were for, all of those different things. But we still don't know why people in America, many people, have been getting these packages from China with the seeds in them. At least we know what these seeds are now. But they still tell you, don't plant them. But now that we know what they are, some people are probably thinking, well, I could use some of that stuff in my garden. Hey, coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. You're not going to believe what this guy got away with for about 24 hours. That's next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Florida man buys Porsche with fake check he printed from his home computer. Hey, Coleman, wait till you hear this. He got away with this for about a day. He could have been long gone. But this is why he's stupid.
Okay, let's hear it.
A man in Florida purchased a brand new Porsche with a check he printed on a home computer. And then, the next day, he decided to splurge on some really expensive watches.
Idiot.
And that's what got him caught. 42-year-old Casey William Kelly cashed the nearly $140,000 check at a local car dealership last week on Tuesday, but was taken into custody the next day on Wednesday when he attempted to buy several Rolex watches at a jeweler with more bogus checks. See, here's what happened. On Tuesday, he went to the car dealership. He bought the Porsche 911 Turbo.
Yeah, that one.
And he gave him a check for almost $140,000, a personal check that he printed from his own home computer back at his home in his bedroom. The car dealership, I guess times are tough. They accepted the check. They accepted it, and he left. He could have taken off. He could have gone to California. He could have gone anywhere.
But see, what happened was, if he felt like he can fool the car dealership, he's thinking, well, I can fool everybody now. He's just going to wild out and splurge. If the car dealerships, I mean, that's expensive. They have to have some sort of contingencies and stuff like that. But if he got away with that, he was thinking, hey, if I got away with this at a car dealership, I definitely could get a Rolex.
So later that day, Tuesday of last week, the car dealership realized, uh-oh, what did we do? Now, you would think they would know better, and they would, before they let him leave with that car, they would make sure that check clears.
Right.
But they didn't. So they called the cops later that day. So the cops knew there was a guy who just passed a fake check for almost $140,000 at a local Porsche dealership. All right?
Right.
Well, the next day, the cops in the same area get a phone call from the expensive jewelry store saying, because when he went to buy the watches the next day, he gives them the check, and they're like, hold on, we'll let you leave in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
They just wanted to make sure that the check cleared. And when it didn't, They're like, give the watches back, pal. He was still in the jewelry store.
Oh, yeah, they got that magnetic lock stuff now, so he probably couldn't leave the jewelry store even if he tried.
And then the jewelry store called the cops and said, I got this clown in here. He just tried to pass a fake check to buy these Rolexes. Cops showed up, and they realized that's the guy yesterday who passed the fake check at the Porsche dealership. So they got him.
So I'm assuming somebody at the Porsche dealership lost their job, right?
You think they probably should have. How do they let him? How do they let the guy drive off the lot with that ride? But yeah, but you were probably thinking like he was. I'm thinking if I'm him, by the next day I'm halfway across the country. I probably would have sold the car already or had it painted, changed my name. But no, he stayed right in that local area in Florida there, and he tried getting some expensive Rolex watches.
And that's why it's a Florida story.
Oh, he rolled the dice one time too many over there. But this is a wild story, and I've got the guy. I got a picture of him. He's standing right next to the Porsche, smiling, thumbs up. Yeah.
At least he got a good selfie out the deal, right?
Yeah, yeah. Go check out this guy's picture and the story. It's on our website at buyu957.com. So the Florida man who bought the Porsche with the fake check printed from his home computer, but then he got busted the next day trying it again with expensive Rolex watches. It's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Just reading a story about this guy who once got bit by an alligator. He was just on vacation, and the other day, he got bit by a shark. His name's Justin Stuller.
He must be delicious.
Yeah. And he was hanging out, of course, in Florida. On the Florida Keys, he was fishing and lobstering and swimming with his wife and his kids. And he just got bit by a shark.
It's like the third Florida story today.
Yeah. Okay, it's one thing to get bit by a shark, but then when they started talking to him, he said, oh, yeah, a few years ago, I got bit by an alligator, too. How many human beings that have been bit by an alligator and a shark are alive to talk about it? Well, this guy in Florida is. His name is Justin Stuller. How about that? There's a guy you want to hang around with. It's our commercial-free ride right now. We're in it right now. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the tunes here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.